Hello and welcome to The Dispatch, a podcast series where we interview people building the transportation of tomorrow. I'm Nick Matthews with the Partner Success team at VIA, and I'm very excited for today's conversation with Laura Jessenait, the CEO of Cool Ride Pooling in Malta. Everyone at VIA loves working with Cool because of the really entrepreneurial and innovative approach the team has taken to building the service over the last year. So I'm looking forward to sitting down virtually with Laura to learn more. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Nick. Thanks for inviting me.
Great. So to get started, for the benefit of our international listeners, it'd be great if you could start by telling our audience a little bit more about Malta.
Yes, sure. So Malta is a very small country. It's in the middle of Mediterranean, 93 kilometers south from Sicily. So the Maltese islands are three islands. So we have Malta, Gozo, and Comino, with the total population of 500,000 inhabitants. The size of Malta, it's very small, so it's only 316 square kilometers, which makes Malta one of the most densely populated countries in the world. So the climate in Malta, it's typical Mediterranean. We have hot summers, warm winters, and with a bit of rainfall. In summer, we have blue skies. Actually, Malta has the highest number of sunshine hours per year across Europe. So Malta is rich in history, has a good weather, has a beautiful ocean, and by no surprise, they have a lot of tourists. So actually last year in 2018, nearly 3 million tourists visited the islands. Malta is also becoming very popular amongst expats. So foreigners today comprise over 14% of Maltese population.
Cool. I was actually one of those, I guess, sort of tourists last year. I've been out once or twice to see the service, and I can definitely testify to it as a very good tourist destination with tons of incredible coastline and exceptionally good food as well. But I'd also be interested to know, for residents in Malta, what are the transportation options that they have available at their disposal, and how do most people get around the island?
You know, interestingly, a lot of people would think that the islands are so small that you can walk, but, you know, given the hot climate and quite a hilly terrain, it's rather impossible. So actually, Malta has very well developed and high density road network. And basically due to that and also other factors, the car ownership is very, very high and very, very popular. So just to give you an example, the car ownership rate is almost 800 vehicles per 1,000 people. Wow. So majority of people would be using their own car. And then if we speak about the public transport, so there are two options. So one could take a bus or choose taxis. But actually only 14% of people prefer buses as a main transport for commuting. So typically most of the trips by local people would be completed by private vehicles. Now what happened in the recent years, since the population is growing very fast and it's growing due to increased community of expats and also due to economic growth, the congestion levels are rising and there is an issue with lack of parking. So actually it's estimated that people spend more than an hour per week just stuck in traffic. So this is roughly the situation. And also what you notice in the last couple of years, that there is a growing popularity of ride hailing services. So there are many Uber-like apps offering ride hailing, which are very popular amongst tourists, expats, and locals. The difference would, like what, interestingly, all those apps, they are quite expensive. Like the trips would be too expensive to use the service for on everyday basis. So typically people, you know, would use them when they go out, when they go to the clubs, or tourists would use them to go around Malta.
It's funny. I remember when I first came out to Malta, I went to an Asian restaurant for dinner one night. And it was a quite small scale restaurant. I looked down at the placemat in front of me and saw that this Asian restaurant had their own e-hail app as well, which seemed like a bizarre combination. I thought, wow, that testifies to your point that there are kind of a number of players that have been providing the Uber-like service in the country. Which brings me on to the next question. So the De Bono Group, which manages the call service, is a private company best known in Malta historically as a Toyota dealership. So given, you know, what you saw happening in the markets, what led to the decision by the De Bono Group to launch an on-demand shared transport service in Malta?
Yeah, so De Bono Group is quite a legacy business. So it started operating back in 1952, and it's the first company that brought Toyota to Europe. So we are very proud of that. But you know, many things changed since then, and now everybody is seeing that family car might not be the best option to move around. So the group is focusing on introducing new services, new mobility services, and you know, the ones can provide more efficient and more affordable transport options to meet, you know, changing customer expectations, but also contribute to decreasing congestion and also CO2 emissions. So the group has launched Cool Ride Pooling a year ago. Actually, it was in July 2019. And the group also has a share in local car sharing and scooter sharing operation.
Okay, fantastic. So you mentioned that the Cool Service has recently celebrated its 1 year anniversary. Can you give our audience an overview of the service as it stands today? You know, what are some of the attributes about the service, as well as some of the key achievements from the first year that you're most proud of as the CEO of the service?
Of course. So when we launched back in July last year, we have started in a small restricted area covering the busiest localities in Malta. What we wanted to do, we wanted to understand, you know, how likely are people to share the vehicle. And actually it was quite successful. So the uptake was quite good and the growth was fast. So we started with restricted operating hours. So we were operating from the morning till midnight and all our drivers were employed. Since then, we gradually expanded and now we are covering the main island of Malta, which is a home of 90% of Maltese population. At the moment, we are operating around 2,000 rides per day. And in the last months, we see a growth of around 15 to 20% per month. So the service is currently 24/7. So one can get a ride at any time and from anywhere within the main island. And we're offering both shared and private rides. What we also introduced half a year ago, we introduced a blended model when it comes to the drivers. So we have self-employed drivers and we have employees. So self-employed drivers now account for roughly 60% of the total hours. And we introduced them because we believe that they can help us to cover the peaks. Initially, the service was really based on commuting peaks. So we had like 50% higher demand during 8 a.m. peak and 7 and 5 p.m. peak. So we roped in self-employed to cover those peaks. At the moment, we continue working with self-employed and we are very happy with the service that we provide. In general, I would say that our customers are technology savvy. And we have two types of customers. We have the ones who use the rides frequently and they use them for commuting purposes. And we also have the ones who would own a car and they would use school on occasionally, you know, to go for the night out or to go to the airport. I'm very proud and I'm very happy that during the first year of operation, we have saved Malta's infrastructure from 450,000 vehicle kilometers that would otherwise have been traveled by single occupancy vehicles. And this resulted in 100,000 kilograms of CO2 emissions saved.
It's a really impressive result and especially important given your comments earlier around the challenges in Malta of congestion and the impact on commute times and things. And I think it's a real testament to how, you know, the Cool Service is really providing an alternative future for transportation across the island. I mentioned at the beginning that the team at VIA really enjoys working with the Cool team. One of the reasons is because you've been incredibly proactive with using all of the different tools that are kind of available to you through our systems and software to drive, to optimize the service and drive service growth. And the growth of the service has been really impressive over the last year. So I'd love to get your perspective, Laura, on what are some of the strategies that you've used to drive up demand and differentiate yourselves in the market?
Yeah, of course. So I'm very happy that VIA can provide a lot of tools, and also we are very happy with the support the team provides. So we use a lot of knowledge and a lot of best practices, and we will continue using them. In general, I would say that, you know, success, I would say that the quality of the service and also the right pricing contributed to the overall success. So when we have launched the service, we introduced it with a fixed price. So anywhere you go, you would pay €4.95 per ride. And what we have noticed, you know, people don't like surprises. People know what they pay. People know what they pay up front, so they can plan the expenses. And another thing is that most of other ride-hailing operators, they would focus on occasional user and on the tourists. And we tried to build a user base of frequent commuters, or users who would use the service frequently. Because at the end of the day, our goal is to help improve congestion and to help improve the traffic situation in Malta. So we want people to drop their own car and use school service. So the right pricing, which is affordable and which is fixed without any surprises, is key to the customer. So we have launched the service with a fixed price. And eventually, once we gradually expanded, we have introduced a tier price depending on the distance. So for example, if you go 8 kilometers, you would pay €4.95. And then we would increase the price by €2 every 3 kilometers. So the price is distance-based, but it's somewhat fixed, so customers are still appreciating this price. Another thing, when it comes to marketing, when we launched the service, we have selected a number of large companies in Malta, and we called it as a pilot launch, and we gave some free rides to the customers. So like that, from day one, we had a good database of people to try the service, to try ride. We kept our drivers busy, and then they started to spread the word. We have referral campaigns. At first, they contributed significantly to the growth of the riders. And also what we have introduced recently, so the first ride at Kool comes with 50% discounts. The result is very good. And actually, you know, we are very happy that the rider acquisition cost decreased by more than a half. Another thing to mention, we also offer passes for our frequent users. At the moment, around 8% of all our rides are coming from past users. And also, from day one, we were approaching businesses to offer rides for employee commuting. Mm. So mainly, employees would be using the service to go to work in the morning or in the evening. But we also have a large share of people who use the service during the night. So it would be, you know, people who work in the restaurants, in hotels, in the airport. So they use for those night hour commuting, night hour going back home. So businesses at the moment account for 20% of our total rides, and it's growing fast as well.
Yeah, one of the really interesting attributes of the Kool service is these partnerships with local businesses. And just for the benefit of those listening, the way that's been enabled is through a product called VIA for Business, which essentially allows a service to partner up with corporates and provide travel policies for their employees. So for example, enabling employees through their business profile to take two rides a day to and from a certain office location between certain hours on Monday to Friday, for example. And by being able to define quite specifically what rides those employees can take, which are centered around their business needs or commuting needs, it provides employers a really interesting way of attracting talent, addressing issues such as congestion with car parks, and also just providing a perk for employees. And it's, you know, something the Kool team has done a really good job of driving up these new partnerships and going out and proactively identifying them. And it's actually really taken off amongst corporates in Malta. So very exciting to see how that develops. And I think combined with you were describing before, the subscription passes, essentially asking customers to pay a certain amount up front in return for kind of effectively a discounted set of rides over the coming week or month, are two examples where the team's done a really good job of identifying those more highly engaged customers. So as you said, differentiating from the more occasional use case of the Friday night out journey, and actually really embedding the cool service as an affordable and convenient everyday transportation option for kind of residents in Malta. So very excited to see how that continues to grow. It would, of course, be a bit remiss to do a podcast about transportation and shared transportation at this time without reflecting on the elephant in the room, that is COVID. Can you tell me what was the impact of COVID on the service, and how did the cool team respond to that in challenging circumstances?
Yeah, I would say that the time of COVID, it was very scary, and it's not over, so we are still feeling somewhat uncertain. But in general, COVID hit Malta mid-March, and immediately our ridership dropped by 85%. In Malta, we didn't have a complete lockdown, so we could still operate, but a lot of people started to work from home, and the ridership was just very low. The streets were empty, there was no traffic. I would say same picture most likely happened anywhere in the world. At first, it was all drivers were very scared to drive, and customers were also scared to take rides, especially shared rides. So in the first week of lockdown, what we have done, we launched private rides instead of the shared rides. So we just limited the capacity of seats to one. And we also started to offer delivery services to shops and supermarkets. We also introduced a very strict sanitation procedure and installed protective shields to separate drivers from the passengers. The time was very uncertain. The ridership was slow, but we were happy that deliveries kept us going. So we were getting new delivery accounts and we were fulfilling those delivery requests. So we kept our drivers busy, we kept our employees busy. And we also, we didn't stop all self-employed. So the ones who were willing to work, we gave them some hours so they can earn some income. Actually, looking back, it was a difficult 2 months, but looking back, we have some great results. For example, we have a lot of drivers applying for the job. And one of the reasons they apply to work with us now is they say that they trust us because we didn't fire anyone during that 2 months of lockdown. So these are the things that, we are happy to hear. And hopefully we will not experience that again. In May, our ridership started to recover slowly. And I think another successful thing what we have done, we have launched a media campaign that was focusing on safety, so on vehicle sanitization and also on protective shields. And since then, we managed to get new riders and we managed to get back the ones who used cool before the lockdown.
Yeah, I saw some. I saw a number of articles coming out from Malta in particular. I like the images of the branded face masks, these very fun bright red cool branded face masks that were being shown, and I think some of the very quick actions that the team took in introducing private rides initially, enabling deliveries, putting in these Perspex screens, protective screens, and actually some really nice initiatives as well. That one that you didn't mention was, I think you provided free rides to the hospital as well to provide a support to the community in clearly difficult times. Whilst those were the right things to do during the worst periods of COVID, I think it's also really the impact of that can really be seen by how quickly ridership has not only recovered, but actually surpassed levels it was pre-lockdown, and a real testament to how the call service is seen as a, as an affordable and actually still a very safe transportation option for residents in Malta. I guess, as we're coming, hopefully, out of this COVID period and looking to the future, I guess I'd like to finish by just understanding, what are your perspectives on how you think transportation in Malta will continue to evolve, and what the role of COOL will be in that?
Yeah, I'm happy to hear customers saying that COOL is what Malta needed. We can offer rides that are more affordable than owning a car, and we can also offer convenience because you don't need to look for parking, etc. So that makes me happy, and we see quite a few people saying that they ditch their car because of COOL, and at the end of the day, this is our ultimate goal. So I believe that we are here to fight prevailing single occupancy trend and accelerate the modal shift towards sustainable mobility. People are realizing now that a car is becoming a burden rather than a freedom. And one of the upsides of the recent pandemic, it was ability to see the, how roads look without any traffic, and how fresh is the air without any traffic. So, in overall, our goal would be, to allow people to transition, from private vehicles to a multimodal ecosystem of transportation. At the same time, we believe that it will take time. But in the future, we want to see Malta having effective, efficient, and affordable transportation ecosystem, and COOL to be part of it.
Fantastic. Well, let me say thank you so much, Laura, for joining me today. It's been really interesting to hear and great to reflect on how much things have developed, the really innovative and proactive approaches the COOL team have taken to growing the service tremendously, and especially through such challenging recent circumstances. So I wanted to thank you again for joining us today, and I encourage everyone who tuned into our chat with Laura to check out even more of our interviews with transit leaders around the world on the Dispatch. And that just leaves me to say, have a great day. Thank you very much again, Laura.
Thank you, Nick. You too. Have a good day.